Could there be a consumer comeback?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good day to you. I'm Steve Chiatakis. We got word today retail sales rose by 0.4% in August. Better than analysts had expected, and it was the best showing in 5 months. Big winners, clothing chains and gas stations. Car sales, not so good. Julie Neiman from Smith Moore & Company in St. Louis isn't convinced it's the beginning of any strong retail period.
Well, it's really nothing to cheer about because analysts were lowballing estimates anyway, and they came in a little bit better than they expected. Bottom line is Americans are not becoming spendthrifts again. Retailers are managing their inventories, and everybody's purchasing cautiously.
Well, some economists, however, say today's report shows the economy hasn't quite run out of steam. Cuba says it's eliminating 500,000 state workers over the next year. In return, the government says it's going to allow some people to become self-employed on the island or even try and spur hiring at private firms. The communist government currently employs about 95% of the Cuban workforce. George Montalvan is an international economic consultant, an expert on the Cuban economy, and he's with us live from Washington, D.C. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. So why now? Why is Cuba making these layoffs right now?
Well, the Cuban economy is in the midst of a very severe economic and leadership crisis, maybe the worst in the revolution's 50 years. The idea, and you mentioned this, that the government could be the only employer is unworkable anywhere, including Cuba, but especially now when there is an extreme acute budget crisis, and it can't continue to keep 5.1 million workers, virtually the entire labor force, on the payroll. The other thing is that productivity has plummeted in recent years because thousands of young people have been emigrating, many to the U.S., for many years, and there are strong disincentives to work hard for those who remain.
Was this Cuba's only option for saving the economy there? Were there other plans, perhaps?
Well, they need to do much, much more in order to survive this crisis, which also comes at a time when the leadership is fading, as we all know, due to old age. Eventually, the system will have to be dismantled.
The communist system.
Yes, the socialist, communist, totalitarian system will have to be dismantled. Much is made of the U.S. embargo on Cuba, but a far more severe embargo is the one placed by the Cuban government on its own citizens by not allowing them to establish businesses and invest, among other things.
You know, layoffs are obviously bad for the economy, but can anything positive in about 20 seconds, can anything positive come out of this?
The Cuban economy is too small and cannot absorb 500,000 self-employed workers. The layoffs will only be positive if those laid off are allowed to establish small businesses and cooperatives, hire other Cubans, and as I said before, invest, et cetera. They will require capital, and this will be a major challenge to overcome.
It's a tall order. George Montalvan joining us from Washington. Thank you, sir.
My pleasure.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are higher right now across the board. The S&P up about 0.3%. Same for the Dow, up 36 points at 10,580. European shares finished the day just a little higher, and Asian markets were mixed today.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, helping small businesses and nonprofits make sense of social media. You can learn more at constantcontact.com/social media. By Ally Bank, committed to customer service with the option to reach a human being at any time at 877-247-ALLY by pressing 0. And by the new Rosetta Stone, introducing their latest advancement in language learning, version 4 Totali. Information at rosettastone.com/APM.
India's tea trade hasn't changed much in 150 years since British colonials started cultivating it there. But there's a movement to make the industry more sustainable for the people who make the tea and the land that provides the leaves. Reporter Raymond Thibodeau has more from Darjeeling in the Indian state of West Bengal.
Workers pluck fresh shoots off tea bushes in the morning mist of Darjeeling. This is the capital of India's tea industry. But the small-scale farmers and laborers rank among India's poorest. So now they're trying to earn a better living by producing their own organic tea. Some 300 of them have formed a cooperative called Organic Ekta. Its organic, fair trade tea brings higher prices from buyers, says co-op member Bandana Rai. Vandana says she's more than tripled her income. She used the extra money to build a new kitchen and enroll her two sons in better schools. Organic Ecto was launched about 3 years ago with the help of Portland-based NGO Mercy Corps and Tazo, the tea arm of Starbucks.
It has given new hope for now and for the future.
Raja Banerjee is a fourth-generation tea estate owner. He's one of Organic Ecto's main buyers. He says Darjeeling's $1.5 billion a year tea industry has been in decline for years, and that Organic Ecto and other similar tea cooperatives are a good thing. He's already started offering shares of his Makabari tea estates to his employees, essentially making them partners.
To get people to be self-respecting grassroots entrepreneurs is the only way out. And if it's your own cow, you know how best to milk it.
Still, some analysts question whether cooperatives such as Organic Ecta can survive without backers such as Tazo and Mercy Corps. Bigger tea estate owners say organic teas have much smaller yields and are expensive to produce. But Ruben Prabhan, a Mercy Corps director in Darjeeling, disagrees.
The tea industry needed a reform. We all believe in Organic Ecta that this is the change that the Darjeeling tea industry needed, and this could be the future of Darjeeling tea.
Prabhan says one day tea associations could own their own factories to process and package their teas and make even better profits from the tea headed for the shelves of a supermarket near you. In Darjeeling, I'm Raymond Thibodeau for Marketplace.
And finally, we've always heard a firm handshake can give a good impression to a business partner or an employer. But among the elderly, British researchers say it could determine who will outlive whom. A study by Medical Research Council researched people over the age of 60. It found older people who have a healthy handshake have an easier time getting up out of a chair and are able to balance on one leg, are more likely to live longer than those who can't do those things. Authors of the study, published in the British Medical Journal, say more research is necessary before they can determine any kind of definite conclusion. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? Don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.